SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to dominate the sportsbooks on Moneyline. Your best live odds on the MLB postseason.
On the seventh pitch, Harper hits one in the air, left center field, back it goes! Harper, the swing of his life!
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Plus all the NFL and college football action you need before opening kickoff.
And if he steps into it, passes, caught! Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished.
With your host, Donnie Wrightside.
Last year, Kevin, in the National League, which is where you're looking at, you know who ended up in the NLCS? Yeah, the 5 and the 6.
And Kevin Walsh.
That is one of the most remarkable performances in a negative fashion that we've ever seen.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
And away we go on a Friday afternoon. The Sports Grid Network, no better place to be than right here. Why? Because it's time for Moneyline, the best hour of your week now. And certainly, we're going to end your week in style. Massive stuff going on across the sports landscape, which does include Major League Baseball tonight, game number one of the World Series. You got NBA action popping off, an exciting Saturday of college football. And then, of course, the main course, the Sunday NFL slate. Let's get started. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, Moneyline. We're ready to go. Oh, how about that? I guess we're not ready to go over on my side here. So, solo mission maybe? Yeah, there we go. Solo mission to start the show. So how about that at that point here? All right, let's get started down the brass tacks. Let's start with the World Series. Should be a good one tonight. Lining up these two teams. Even to me, even though the numbers don't price it out, you're probably finding anywhere around a minus 175 price on the series for the Texas Rangers to win. However, tonight, FanDuel opened up at a minus 156 price. It now sits at minus 162 as a favorite. Just in this game, I'm not talking about the series price, as I just mentioned, of minus 175. Eovaldi versus Gallen total in this game listed at 8.5. This morning, doing the show with Ben Stevens on the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm already firing away in this game. Now, the one thing I do love is the profit boost tonight, 50% on a singular bet. I guess you could probably use it for a parlay if you wanted to, but I didn't want to waste time. I factored this game down and certainly pulling from prior knowledge of the previous series with the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Diamondbacks' goal was do not let the big boppers beat us. And as it turned out, they pitched around some of those big boppers in game 6 and 7. The rest of the lineup went absolutely ice cold. Now, granted, Schwarber and Harper didn't help themselves, but it was clear they weren't getting a lot of fastballs down Broadway anymore. So the question is going to be tonight, where do those fastballs actually line up? Who's getting those fastballs tonight? Because the one thing I could probably guarantee, it would be a mistake if you said, you know what, we're now going to pitch to Adolis Garcia, who's absolutely knocking the cover off of the baseball right now. We don't think that's going to be the case tonight, right? Marcus Semien, he's probably going to see pitches as the leadoff hitter tonight. Corey Seager, I don't know how many pitches he's going to see. So the anticipation of the lineup, which isn't official yet, let's just say it is, and I hope it's this way, by the way, Semien, Seager, Carter, and Garcia. If we're just taking a look at Zach Gallen on the mound tonight, fine pitcher, no doubt about it. Struggling a little bit, though, over the past 30 days. But he's struggling specifically with left-handed batters. Lineup tonight, as we anticipate, Semien, a right-handed batter, Seager and Carter, lefties, Adolis Garcia, Mitch Garver, both right-handed batters. Jonah Heim is a switch hitter, so he'll bat from the left-hand side tonight. Same thing with Nathaniel Lowe. Jung and Tavares. Jung is a right-handed batter. Tavares is a switch hitter. So you have a nice mix here tonight for the Texas Rangers of left-handed bats, and that's going to be key. But the guy I settled in here, Evan Carter, if he hits out of that third hole tonight, guys, as a left-handed batter, just hear me out. Marcus Semien is a very good leadoff batter. Has he had the greatest 30 days? No, he hasn't. 078 ISO, weighted on base percentage, 227, but a low K rate. Let's just say Marcus Semien gets on base. And I'm talking Marcus Semien leads off this game with a double. think they're pitching to Corey Seager right behind him? Or are they going to work around them, put him on, say, we'll go for the young kid, the 21-year-old, Evan Carter? That's where we're going tonight. I love Evan Carter because you are mixed in Seager in the two-hole, Adolis Garcia in the four-hole, Carter in the three-hole. He's going to get pitches. So, K-Dub, tonight, my play of the day, FanDuel Sportsbook. You're going to love this here. Max wager, one unit, 50% profit boost. Evan Carter to get an RBI, plus 234 tonight. Sensational.
So what are they giving you on any 50%. Wager in that game?
Yeah, looks like it. Yep, looks like it.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes, that's right. I used it on probably a silly thing, to be honest with you already, but that's a good shot there.
In the baseball game? What did you use? What did you take?
I didn't want to spray the board. Maybe I should have put it on something plus, but my favorite bet, Donnie, for the series is under 51.5 total runs scored for the full series.
Wow.
I don't know if it sounds ridiculous. I know it doesn't sound like something I usually would do, but I was going through the numbers and the Diamondbacks. So what's the thought, right, Donnie? If the series goes five games, I automatically win the bet, right? If it's a quick series, you would think I'd be in the clear. You know, Phillies Diamondbacks didn't cross that total. Seven game set, didn't get over the number. Still only landed at 51. Went through the Rangers Astros series. Now that certainly blasted through. But going into game six of Astros Rangers, they still needed eight runs, which again they got, but that's a legitimate total that you could see in a game six. So if this is a short series, I think I cash it. I think there's a chance to cash it in a long series.
All right. There you go. So looking at some unders. Yeah, you don't want 10-7 tonight. You want a 3-1 nice tilt. Like, hey, man, that works. And then you start saying, well, let's just say the Rangers won tonight. Like, ooh, can the Rangers get a sweep here? Just knock this one out real quick so we go four games.
I don't know what you think of tonight's total. What I'll say, and the negative on my bet, if you wanted to go the other side, is Eovaldi Gallen, you would think, is the premier pitching matchup of this series, and it's an 8.5, which means we could see nines and a halves throughout this series. I don't know what you think on tonight's total, though.
I lean under tonight because my handicap is Eovaldi's been very good right and left side. You don't have giant boppers in the lineup for the Arizona Diamondbacks, right? So I'm figuring on that. Okay, they'll get a couple runs tonight if that's the maximum. I don't anticipate, say, Donnie, you know what? Arizona's going to gun Eovaldi right out of there. It's going to be a 7-run shot. I don't believe that. The one chance for runs, as I just laid out, was left-handed batters for the Texas Rangers. But they're good pitchers on the mound. It's the World Series. Like, everything matters. You saw in, like, Game 6 and 7 in the Philly series, the bunts come out now. Don't bunt, don't bunt. It's the dumbest thing you can do with the game's on the line in the biggest moment. What's everybody do? They bunt. Of course, the bunt is a very important play. The reason I bring that up is now you're sort of in that series. It's like, hey, man, there's no real tomorrow. Like, we're not saving anybody, and we're not playing with house money. We are in a championship series here. So every run is going to matter, which means runner on second base, no outs. What do most players do in baseball? Hey, you know what, man? Let's try to drive this baseball into the gap, score this, grab my RBI. Now you know it gets high fives in the dugout. A ground ball to the first baseman moves that runner over to third base. That's a job well done. Plays towards the under. It's what it's supposed to happen. But Evan Carter tonight. First inning, man. Simeon, get on. Seager, get on. Single by Carter. I'm headed to bed with another W in my pocket. It's Moneyline on a Friday afternoon, a football Friday. Let's get after it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in on a Friday afternoon. It's a football Friday, but I believe we got a memo from upper management that said it's Kelly Oubre Day on the network today for some reason. Because he was tremendous yesterday for the Sixers, and they still lost that game. But my cap on that game, Kevin, the day before, was like, look, I don't hear one single person taking the Sixers. I'll take the six. Boom. Almost won it out. By the way, 8-point lead for the Sixers. Second half against the Bucks. Late fourth quarter, against the Bucks yesterday. Sixers held their own. They did.
Yeah, but I would almost say it to the point where I don't know if it's a moral victory, right? Like
there's no moral victories, yeah.
Point to win the game. That was a tough spot. Listen, I'm well aware that me having a D'Anthony Melton rebounds prop has me hyper aware of his minutes, but Damian Lillard is lighting Kelly Oubre's face on fire. I understand Oubre had a great offensive game, but at that point, Donnie, when you're less than 5 minutes to go, the offense isn't going through Oubre anyway. All shots are going to be Maxi and Embiid, maybe some Tobias Harris. And Nick Nurse just allowed Kelly Oubre to get lit up by Lillard, and that's what, you know, a big reason that they lost that basketball game last night. That was look, I thought it was a big mistake. Would Melton have been able to slow down Lillard? Maybe not, but he is their best perimeter defender. Again, that is a game they absolutely could have and to some degree should have won when you look at the time and score that was on the board, and they let one slip away. That would have been a great start to their season.
Some are saying James Harden loved what he saw so much. He wants back in with the Sixers and willing to take an extension for much, much less at the end of the year. Did you hear the same thing I was hearing there?
Yeah, no, that obviously not true. Although, again, I don't know, like, could the Sixers potentially have Harden in a double bluff here where now they're like, no, we actually do want you back, and Harden plays? It's, you know, every day there's a report that the Clippers want a player that is not Harden and that they're not getting, like, the Clippers really wanted Drew Holiday. But why are we reporting on this? Who cares? They didn't get any plays for the Celtics. The Clippers don't seem interested in Harden. And, you know, we talk about this a lot. There's not a lot of stories going on about other teams trying to bring in Harden. There has to be something out there, right? Someone somewhere has to be interested in the talent that is Harden, no?
Yeah, and that's why he's been sent away from the Sixers right now for a couple days. This isn't like, hey, by the way, James, we're just going to sit you down and keep working out for a few months until we get a taker. It sounds like it's close. And man, not playing back-to-back games because of a quote-unquote ankle injury. You sort of get the vibe that sooner than later it's going to be the Clippers. Now, it will be interesting because the Clippers will be superstarred up with names, but we always know how the Clippers typically turn out late in the season. Harden probably will be angry with the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard will say, you know what, my quad hurts and I don't know when I'm going to be back. And then Paul George, some mysterious, you know, in the protocols when we didn't even think COVID was around anymore at that point. So we always know what the Clippers are going to turn out. But if we turn it over, Kevin, to L.A. teams, mm-hmm. The Lakers needed to win last night. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I look at this by saying, win the battle, lose the war. If it has to be, hey, LeBron, we literally need you to play like every minute of the game that matter and do that for 82 games in the season. Because I like that the Lakers won. They needed to win. The Suns were, I don't want to say wounded, but that was a game where the Suns were like, hey, look, let's just see what happens. And if KD goes ballistic, which he actually did, and we win that game, we'll love it. They probably should have won the game up double digits to start the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But LeBron, they're like, hey, by the way, you got a minutes restriction. Yeah, blow by that. I'm going in this basketball game as if Zion could ever do that. They won, which is great. But is this what we're waiting for the Lakers? Like, they're going to use up LeBron early in the season just because they need him, and we'll see what happens.
So I'm going to throw something out there, and I actually am very curious on how you, considering kind of your tone on some of this stuff, will react, right? Mm-hmm. The Lakers are going to play in Sacramento Sunday night. And then on a back-to-back at home Monday against Orlando. Yep. Do you think it would be ridiculous if the Lakers sat LeBron out for one of those games?
No, and they would sit him out for Sacramento, saying, you know what, that's probably a 50-50 game. We're going to play him against Orlando because with him we know we can win that.
I totally agree, and it gets him 3 full days of rest. Mm-hmm. And look, I know a lot of people are really bothered with star rest. I think, and I think this is fair, Donnie, I think you'll agree, LeBron is in the 21st season of his career. I don't think we should be annoyed with him missing games in the way that you're annoyed with like a Bradley Beal, right, or a Devin Booker. So I am curious to see, because last night's game was, it sounds crazy, but it was important, wasn't it? You start 0-2 with the two losses being against the damn Nuggets, who you talked all that trash about, and the Suns missing, you know, their, you know, two of their three best players. So they pushed for that win. And now, you know, you go to Sacramento, and again, to your point, it's a 50-50 game. Also, if there really is this narrative that AD is going to take over, make him play a bunch of games without LeBron and just see what the hell he does. Because the guy has to wake up a little bit, right? Like, he was better last night, Donnie, but this is the same thing that we saw from AD in the postseason. It was an every other game type of thing. The AD prop was as easy as everybody thought it was going to be last night. 23.5 points. Bounce back. He won't show it again. All right, so now what? We go under in Sacramento and then over against Orlando, and we'll do this all year long with this guy? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's something to keep an eye on. But again, the Lakers did need that victory. And you said, well, what do you mean? There's 80 games left if they lost that they're 0-2. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is perception. It's like, you know what? Like, we're trying to talk ourselves up over the summer that we're a player here. Forget about what anybody else is saying. We know what we have. And you go out and get slapped by Denver, then come home, and the Nuggets are like, or excuse me, the Suns are like, hey, we'll just take a bye game against the Lakers. We could beat them with one superstar. And we're up double digits to do that. They had an incredible fourth quarter, the Lakers, defensively, to hold off the Phoenix Suns. Big night tonight in the NBA. So before we turn it over in the next segment to the NFL and the weekend, are there any looks from you tonight that you're eyeing up here?
Yeah, there's a couple things I was going over. Chris Paul, Donnie, in terms of the three-point shots, right? It makes sense him shooting a lot more in Golden State. He was 0 for 6 in game 1, so you can get him at plus money to make 2. That was a number that caught my attention. Here's a total that caught my eye. I'm curious what you think, kind of the angle here. But it is Hawks-Knicks, totals 229.5. If you look at the superstars in this game, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray on the Atlanta side, and then Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and R.J. Barrett on the Knicks side, all five guys were atrocious in the season openers. A combined 26 for 96 from the field between those five players. So in a spot where, you know, I believe in bounce back spots and a lot of these guys should potentially play much better and it's your key guys, Donnie, I'm wondering if that can push us towards an over in that basketball game of 229.5.
Yeah, the volume and the usage rate, which God love, you know, Tibbs up in New York, because Julius Randle can do no wrong. Coach, I haven't made a shot in a month. I don't care. I'm going to leave you out there. Even if we're up 20 points, shoot to your heart's content. What was he, 5 of 22, something like that in game number one? So you expect that also from game one. Most of the time you're watching, like, guys are struggling with, I mean, obviously some guys haven't, but the three-point shots, you say, okay, you know what? I got to get back in rhythm in the season here. Guys are shooting at 4 for 14, some of the superstars out there, and I get that. But game number two, you should be locked in. And also, the Knicks and the Hawks, I mean, it's a shame that it's not in Madison Square Garden, because that'd be a nice little, you know, treat for the Knicks fans right off the bat. And by the way, the Knicks fans saw a Celtics game where they probably should have won that game and lost, and then the, you know, Atlanta Hawks come to the Garden and smoke them. That would have been really interesting to watch. But they're not there, and it shows a lot of respect. Like, most outlets right now have the Knicks as a favorite by at least 1 point here. We'll see how it shows up. But one thing I'm always interested in is Trae Young, to see what he does against the Knicks tonight. But that's a look. Also, let's see how good the Boston Celtics are, because the angle, you know me, like, I'm not analyzing early in the season based off of one game. But I love narratives. Yeah. The narrative for me was, who's going to have the bigger night in Milwaukee? I said, you know what? It's time for Lillard to shine in his opening game. And I knew he would do that here. But if we're looking from a perspective of tonight for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown's like 18.5, I think, is his points prop.
Yep.
He's got to go over that tonight, and I do think he does.
I'll throw you another one in terms of where all eyes balls will be, right? It's Victor Wembanyama. I'm surprised they didn't move his prop. 17.5 in game one, 17.5 again. The reason he didn't get there, we all know it, Donnie, foul trouble, right? That was the issue. He plays more minutes tonight against a bad Houston basketball team. He should really not have an issue getting into the 20s.
Full slate in the NBA tonight. Hopefully we can cash in some tickets there, but let's move forward. The NFL is on deck, and it's Kevin and Donnie. We're going to treat you to some action this weekend. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's buzz through these games this weekend here. Have some fun and see where our thought process is before we get locked in, ready to go. Pro Football Today Sunday should be sensational, and then we roll it over, people. I feel like me and K-Dub together, out in little Joe Lisi, you get an extra hour of Game Time Decisions, 7 p.m. to 8:09, I believe it is, setting you up for Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. Your boy DRS is doing it for the people out here. It's a long drive, but I feel the people need the information so we can pass it along, have some fun. And by the way, I always joke about, like, this show should be shorter. I don't even know what we're going to do. It's going to, hold on now. This is our last segment? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we have an hour on the radio during the week. Yeah. It's like, it goes so fast. Same thing on TV. Like, the Sunday 3-hour show flies by. It's a three, because usually it's like, hey, man, 3 hours, you got to do this and that. When you talk NFL and you just let it rip, it all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what? We're ready for the whip around and best bets and we're out of here. So that's going to be an interesting addition next week. Game. Do we have a special name for it, though, Kevin? What's the special name?
I believe it's still just called Pro Football Today. You know, Pro Football Today Monday night, Pro Football Today Thursday night, maybe. I don't know if that part's been.
We need a snappy number.
Sorted. Yeah.
Do we have graphics ready for it? Do we have, like, you know, special caricature pictures of me, you, and Lisi together?
Yeah, maybe that's popping. That's what we really need.
We do. Absolutely, we need that.
It's time for you to take it to management and tell them what's what.
It is. By the way, before I go to management on this, I mean, Will Ospreay's best wrestler in the world. Let's just get that out of the way.
What did you
why is he not heavyweight champion? Why is he not a heavyweight champion of AEW? He's by far the best wrestler that I see on AEW at times. Not even close.
I mean, I don't disagree. But
why isn't he full time?
Well, he's still under contract in Japan, but that's going to come up in February, and we'll see where he lands. Yeah, he's going to get a huge bag. Some people think that he could go to WWE. I'm sure.
No way. He doesn't fit WWE. That's not their MO. Yeah, he's too
I totally agree. It's just that they'll probably offer him a bunch of money. I think he has to kind of consider it in order to make sure he drives up the full dollar amount that he is worth from the AEW side of things. But I think that they'll offer him plenty. And sooner than later, he will be world champion.
It's funny because, you know, his every move is a high spot, but it's more ridiculous than the next. We're like, who's that guy? Don't worry about him. You'll see him soon enough. But the funny part in, like, WWE would be like, hold on now. Like, all we do is leg drops over here. Like, what are you doing off this top rope over here? Like, what move is this actually done? So we'll see if that pops up. But I had to sneak that in because somebody sent a tweet out that said he got, like, a 5.25 star rated match at his last whatever event he did. So we'll have to catch up on that thing. I mean, you watch him, and then you just watch the unathletic Kenny Omega, and it's like, what are we even watching here at this point?
Now, here's the offer, Donnie. Saturday, extra ticket in the pocket. It's yours if you want it. Come with me to the Mohegan Sun Arena. Why not?
No shot. I got other plans now. I'm calling other radio stations, apparently, on Sirius XM on Saturday nights now.
You can pop out of the show and make that
phone call. I'm getting booked all over the place now, so watch. Exactly. And I'm talking about, if I'm getting booked in other places, I mean, phone calls got to be made for this little thing I fill out each and every morning when I do shows over here. So we'll see about that. Exactly. You know what the other good point is? Football this weekend. And look at all of these games, Kevin. Let me go over the 1 o'clock slate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 1 o'clock games. 4 o'clock, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 8, 20 game tonight. You are loaded this weekend, which is why when you talk about the eliminator pick, there's so many more options. Like, oh, man, last week was a struggle. It doesn't look like it's going to be a struggle this week. And I've already locked in the Chargers going up against Chicago. Tyson Bagent on the road, he's not winning that football game, and I'm betting against that. So there's my eliminator pick this week to stay alive, Kevin. 15,000, close to 16,000 people were in the eliminator contest I'm in. It's down to 2,100 people, 1.3 million to the winner. I need to get that. I need it.
Look, the interesting thing is with a week like this, Donnie, right, where there's so many, oh, come on, this is the spot. Mm-hmm. Well, now you know a couple of them won't come in, right? Baltimore will be popular for anybody that still has them. I think Miami will be popular for anybody that has them. Dallas will be used. Kansas City would be used. Philadelphia. Yep. Right? Yep. Am I missing any of the other obvious ones, or are those the obvious
obvious ones? They're the obvious ones, yes, where it's like, okay, like it's a no-brainer. As you said, like Philadelphia, like anyone in that like 6 to 10-point range, per se. There's a lot of those. And like Detroit on Monday night, right?
Detroit definitely will be used. Off that loss, no doubt about it. Detroit's definitely going to be a popular one.
But the way I look at this, do I think Detroit loses to Vegas? No. But Vegas looks like they're going to get Jimmy Garoppolo back. Now, you said, Don, what the hell does that mean? Well, I mean, you hear what I'm saying. At least you have a quarterback that's been there, could have a good football game, and play it out. I just say to myself, and it's been working for me, if this quarterback and Tyson Bagent and the Bears, we're talking about the Bears here, go on the road and knock off the Chargers, I'll just tip my cap and be like, you know what, it wasn't meant to be, and sooner or later, I was going to get tripped up anyway. Like if you're betting, like, hey, I'll take Dallas at home against the Rams. Do you think Dallas is going to win? Yes, I actually do. But are you going to be surprised at a 3-point game in the fourth quarter where the Rams have the football? No, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Right, which is totally valid. I mean, Dallas off the bye, right, Don? I think that would be a little surprising. But to your point, we're talking about big favorites here. The incredible thing is, and I think I agree with you, right, the Bears have a better record than the Chargers. I'm not trying to talk you out of the pick. I agree with you. I think I would actually lay the number with LA in the game, which I think is a great starting point, by the way. When you're talking Survivor, would you lay those points, right? Like, I don't know if I would lay the number with Detroit, for example, or Baltimore in Arizona. I think I would lay that number with the Chargers, and that would help push me to them being the pick as well.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense. By the way, good point there on Baltimore. Let's bring that game up now because they're a heavy favorite. Opened up at 7, now as high as 9.5. I think the line is telling you what's going to take place this weekend and not say, well, of course, Baltimore's going to win. Dobbs is the starting quarterback. We're hearing Kyler Murray is having full practices. That line's not 9.5 with Kyler Murray playing. And I'm not saying if Kyler Murray comes back, like, oh, man, legitimate shot to beat Baltimore. He should be able to provide that, you know, superstar impact. But I do believe that number is climbing because we think it's going to be Josh Dobbs. And if it is, Baltimore's probably going to feast on that defense here. But is there a chance, like we wake up, we're just about to go live, and Adam Schefter tweet goes through, you know who's going to work out pregame? It's Kyler Murray. If he feels good, he's going today. Do we have a chance at that?
I don't mean to be foolish, but I thought it was possible. Because I don't know why you're not playing Kyler. Like, so you made the point of soft landing spot.
Yes.
Donovan, that doesn't exist for this team. It doesn't.
It exists for him.
But so that means he can't play next week either, though, right?
Yeah, but you're,
he can't play next week either.
I don't like the word, like, too much too soon, right? He's back a little bit earlier on his timeline. He just got cleared for full practices. Are we putting him right back out there? Or are we going to say, okay, prepare like you're going to be a starter this week. You're not playing. Next week, you'll be the starter. That's what I feel is in the best interest of the team and him.
If this team was 4-3, do you think he'd be playing?
Yes, but that's different. You see what I mean? We got to get to the – they're not going to the playoffs. So what is the actual rush?
Listen, so I agree. I just don't know if teams think like that. Do you know what I mean? Where do they say, hey, look, Kyler, we're 1-6, all right? We're going to lose to Baltimore. We're going to lose to Cleveland. It'll be 1-8, and then you can get out there, and we'll just let the season go. I don't – again, maybe that's what they do. If you told me that's the smart thing to do, I don't think I would disagree with you. I'm just not sure if that's how – this team is going to operate. I don't know if that's how teams operate, and that's not how athletes, we know this, Donnie, that's not how athletes are wired.
No, the athlete wants to play. The coach wants them to play because that's on their overall record for their career. That's how they think they can keep a job. One win here, one win there is the difference between getting hired and fired or just staying employed at that point. But it's up to the general manager and the ownership group to be on the same page. Like, we know we're not going anywhere this year. Do you know what works out best? Get Kyler Murray completely healthy. If he plays good football down the stretch, we go to the end of the season and have two decisions to make. One, do we keep him? Two, do we trade him? And where do we go with our top draft picks? So I don't know if we're in that rush or that crunch, but if you're going to ask, you know, a Jonathan Gannon, hey, by the way, do you want a better quarterback than Josh Dobbs to play? And he goes, no, man, I don't want a better quarterback. Yeah, of course you do. Like, you're excited for Kyler Murray to get back because it could help your job prospects.
Well, it is incredible, though. Again, you talk about the long-term health of the team. Hey, Kyler, take over when we're 1-8. When we're fully at 1-8, you're obvious. Look, at 1-6, they're buried, right? As we've talked about, this team could be 6-1. You'd probably still be like, I don't think they're making the playoffs. But when you're 1-8, Donnie, there's no like, hey, listen, man, you get a little hot here, and we can start to talk, right? Season's over. Mm-hmm. So for the franchise, losing is probably the MO, especially with the Texans being better than many projected them to be. Where that pick, remember when the Cardinals were going to have the first two picks in the draft, Donnie? Remember that was the talking point?
Yes.
Like,
correct.
That's not going to happen anymore, but for Arizona, that draft pick is still super, super valuable. It's interesting. The line, though, doesn't. What do you think the line is if he plays? I don't think it's 7.
Yeah, it's 6.5. I'm going 6.
Really?
Again, we don't have a backlog. Like, we don't have a backlog on him. You can't take this down too far. But there is a difference with Kyler Murray coming back than Josh Dobbs at this point.
Yeah,
I'd go 6.5.
I think it would probably sit at the 7, if not 7.5. I don't, because I think you would get an avalanche of people betting against Kyler then in that first game. I really think you would.
No, you would. But if you're saying to yourself, are you getting a quarterback upgrade with a chance to make plays and be better? It's definitely going to be Kyler Murray. Which, again, right. That's not saying like I would move the Ravens to. If we're being honest, let's just say Kyler Murray was playing and they were a game under 500. What's that line? 4.5 out in the desert? It'd probably be like 4.5. So I'm going to jet that up about another 2 points, keep it below the 7, and say that's where it probably should be. By the way, the Ravens on offense should get busy this weekend. OBJ, go ahead and hang another OBJ at 21.5 out here, FanDuel or DraftKings, or whatever you guys are doing. We'll be all over that one again. Let's keep the football fun going on a Football Friday at the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Biggie Smalls, yeah. We're right back out of here on Moneyline Friday afternoon. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Big weekend this weekend. Let's take a look at some other big games here. 4:25 kickoff, Bengals 49ers. Line as high as 6, down to as low as 3, back up to 4.5. Brock Purdy practiced a little bit yesterday. I don't think he plays this weekend, which means it's Sam Darnold time. Total 43.5. Bengals and the 49ers. The one thing that I know is absolutely for certain is Christian McCaffrey is going to score a touchdown. That 365 is out at a minus 163 market there for him to score any time. Kevin, are you finally going to get on the bandwagon and say, you know what? Let's start betting Christian McCaffrey.
Absolutely not. No way. Oh,
thank goodness, because you'd mush it if you did.
Yeah, I mean,
by the way, he's minus 225 at DraftKings.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean,
we still got that number, but 365.
I'm not jumping in at this point in time here. No, with a quarterback change as well. Out of your mind. No way.
Wait, what's that got to do with McCaffrey? It doesn't mean more McCaffrey then, right? Come on.
It means the offense could be bad. There's a chance, Donnie, the offense is bad in the game. Absolutely.
It can't be bad if that guy. Now, look, when he's out of the game, the offense is bad. You're right. But when he's in, smooth sailing here, man. Smooth.
I'm not saying it's going to lose. I'm saying I'm not going to touch that number. I got nothing to do with that. And by the way, I think it's becoming clear as day to me that the side to bet is Cincinnati. Hey, that's one of those, let's not overthink this here. I'm getting 4.5 points with Joe Burrow against Sam Darnold. Come on now, what are we talking about?
It's funny, too, because my mind goes opposite. Like, I loved the Bengals at 6 with, I don't care who's Brock Purdy, whatever. And I started seeing that number dip. I'm like, ooh, man, I like the Niners now. Like, I don't think I'm going to obviously take the side in that game per se. This is a show-me game for the Bengals. And also, it's almost like the perfect collision for me. It would show me, like, the Bengals are back if they win. And I don't mean back winning a Super Bowl. I mean, like, okay, they're a good football team, struggled early on. They'll probably make the playoffs, get knocked out in round 2 because they don't have home field advantage. But still a solid season for the Bengals. I need to hear from 49ers fans out there after this football game. If they lose a game, again, 3 in a row, what would the excuse be? What's the thought process? And is Kyle Shanahan just going to, like, chop his own head off after the game? My goodness. He won't be used to that. 3 straight losses for him? Shoo!
Well, for a team that, again, had you know, refused to lose any regular season games, right?
Man.
With Brock Purdy. Yeah, it would be a huge fall. But what I would say, again, if they lost Donnie, the idea is, we have our backup quarterback in. In the room, in that they believe Brock Purdy is better than Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think he is.
Here's what I would say. Remember when Brock Purdy was kind of going through some offseason injuries and stuff like that, Donnie?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he wasn't able to make the starting game. These teams played in week 1. Burrow never was injured in the preseason. I know this is a big fantasy land. Point is, this is about a 1-point game either direction. But we're getting this number because there's just all of this confidence built up in Shanahan with any quarterback he could possibly have. Plus, Cincinnati has been an odd team. But we've talked to Doc. He said that Burrow will get healthier as the year goes on. This team's coming off of a bye. Higgins, a Chase, all available. And you're getting 4.5 points. And by the way, the issue for this football team the past 2 weeks has not been just a Brock Purdy thing. The defense has not been up to the typical standard throughout the past couple of weeks either.
Sacking players. That's what you're supposed to do there for the 49ers. By the way, the Bengals team total, 19.5, Kevin. 20 cashes you a ticket with the Bengals this weekend. Rested and ready, full blast T. Higgins, full blast Jamar Chase. Another week for Burrow, who probably look fine before the bye anyway at this point here. I'm very interested because the narratives are sensational this game. 49ers win, yes, they're supposed to. Oh, my God, the Bengals are done, and they probably won't pay Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, and away they go into their offseason. But if they win this football game, yeah, the Bengals somewhat back, but really the more... And more I look at this game is, I need to see the 49ers, if they're on the mat after three straight losses, and what that means. Does that mean Seattle's like, hey, psh, we'll win this division? The Rams are like, oh, we should be able to get after this. You see what I mean? Like, I never in a million years did I think the Niners would win a three-game losing streak, and particularly not in the three games they lost. Those should have been wins, and they were losses now, which is incredible.
Yeah, the question comes in, it's a shame Purdy's not playing, though, because, again, if the Niners lose, I'm not saying all... If they lose, though, isn't there going to be some, it's the backup... Like, if Darnold is terrible, right, the conversation is then going to be, well, they didn't have their starting quarterback, or are people going to say it makes no difference? Is the idea that Darnold and Purdy are the same to everybody?
I think so. Like, I don't think Brock Purdy, and this is the reason why we go back to those MVP conversations. I know how good Brock Purdy can be because he's perfect for that offense and he executes it to perfection. Not everybody can do that. Otherwise, Jimmy Garoppolo would still be there. And, you know, some of the, who's the other guys that they had? Nick
Beathard.
Mullins. Beathard, exactly. Like, if it was just that easy, those guys would have just been like, hey, man, we're, you know, 10-1 to open our NFL careers. But they're not. You have to have some sort of semblance and a decent amount of athletic ability to execute that. So when I'm lining it up, yeah, I actually think most people, the common person goes, they shouldn't miss a beat with Darnold.
Yeah, I guess, because, you know, but again, like, it's interesting. I think that's partly because Darnold has first-round pedigree. Like, if this was C.J. Beathard starting Donnie, right? If this was Nick Mullins starting, this line would have dropped far more. And I don't know. Are we sure Sam Darnold isn't C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins?
We'll find out. Like, we'll have, at the end of the game, it's like, hey, man, maybe we should take an extra 2 weeks for Brock Purdy. Or, man, that's always been what Sam Darnold is. You thought he could play. He's playing with even the best weapons in football and play caller, and he still can't operate. Like, we're waiting for that. Like, that type of referendum on him at that point as well. Phone lines are open here, 844-843-6879. Friday afternoon, the Moose is ready to rock and roll. Talk to us, Moose. What do you got?
I tell you what I got is at 6 o'clock, and I'm just going to change this up a little bit because I know my hockey friend Redtail's listening. But I'm looking at three games today. I'm looking at Vegas at home. They got a 6 o'clock game, okay? I am looking at Carolina at home, all right, as well. You know, we got Jack Eichel, we got Hughes. We are going to have some good hockey games tonight, and I think it presents quite the opportunity to put some money on the board, especially with San Jose coming in. I don't think they've won a game. And then there's another game. It kind of slips my mind as well. There's a third one. I'm driving, so I can't look at my ticket. And, you know, football, I mean, it's a great weekend. And, hey, DRS, I was listening to you this morning, and I like the idea of staying away from, like, the top three on both of the World Series games tonight, or the World Series game tonight, and looking in that back half. I like Eovaldi throwing over 5.5 strikes. And correct me if I'm wrong, you had mentioned Carter maybe to knock one in. And then, Kevin, last night was one of the second or third times I had the opportunity to listen to you and DRS in the evening, and I thoroughly enjoyed you guys' show. So you guys
appreciate it.
Absolutely the best two or three shows on the grid. You know, you guys hit us from the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. I mean, what an a la carte. You know, it doesn't get any better than that. You guys take care. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
There you go. Moose ready for the weekend. You know all that food is ready to rock and roll this weekend. Going to be watching a little Browns football up there in the Pacific Northwest. But that Bengals 49ers game certainly has my opinion here. But again, or option, I should say. Minus 163, I'm trying to find. Looks like that's the best number on the board right now. A lot of outlets actually don't even have touchdown props for this game out here at this point. So slim pickings here. When are they going to pop that up? Sunday morning here? Let me see who's going to score a touchdown at that point.
When do those usually come down? Because I remember we'd do the pick six. Like we wouldn't have full boards on Friday.
Yeah, a lot of, exactly, which is wild at that point. But we had that problem again this morning. Like we didn't have that. Had to shop around for the Christian McCaffrey numbers that weren't there at a lot of places. So I had to just say, you know what? It's what I like best. Here's what that price is probably going to wind up being there. But I do think he cashes in that ticket this weekend. Other games on the board. And again, there's a lot of football games. Not a lot of, hey, man, I got to sit down and watch this. And also, primetime Sunday night, Chicago and the Chargers. Monday night, Vegas and Detroit. Not the greatest thing in the world. One of those matchups you probably thought would have been really good at the beginning of the season, Kansas City, Denver at 425, not going to be all that great here as well. So it looks like, I guess what, the game of the week? Got to be Cincinnati and San Francisco. Is that what we're agreeing on?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's got a lot of intrigue, doesn't it? You factor in the quarterback change for the Super Bowl favorites. At a number of play, or at least they were, right? They're still way up there, NFC favorites, as we've talked about. So I think that's big. I'll say, and again, I know it's very unlikely, but man, if you told me Kyler Murray plays and I could only watch one football game, that might be it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You know?
It's going to be it for me. Baltimore,
really,
baby. Let's go.
Really interested if Kyler comes back, just what that looks like. Not that I'm expecting an upset, right? But anything that happens would be fascinating. Like, if he's terrible, that's fascinating to me, right? Can the Ravens stay hot? You know, Baltimore is atrocious as covering as a legitimate favorite. So,
and they're coming off their most, impressive performance, which, like, man, how did Baltimore lose that game? Like, that's, again, I don't think they're going to, but the vibes of it's 9.5, Baltimore should put up 35 points, and we laugh at Arizona, doesn't always work out that way. It just doesn't. We've watched it happen one too many times here. Kirk, the line of the week, I like to say here, Minnesota and Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's on the road as a 1.5-point favorite against Green Bay. It shows you that, yes, we watched Kirk Cousins last week against a solid 49ers team pull out the victory. They're still down their best player. But it doesn't really reflect on Minnesota. The direct reflection here is, how bad are the Green Bay Packers? What happened? Is it, you can't just sound like, oh, Aaron Jones is still a little hobbled on his hamstring, and Watson is, he's out there but hasn't provided yet. This line should be Green Bay -6.5 over Minnesota if they were playing any sort of decent football. Why is Green Bay so bad? And is it just so simple to say Jordan Love's not the quarterback we thought he is? Kevin, there's weapons on that offense. Are they the best in the league? No. But this team, to me, stinks on offense, and it shouldn't.
They should be way better. I certainly thought they would be much better. They've had one of the oddest schedules in the league. I'm not saying it's hard. I'm saying it's odd. The Packers have not played in a single game booked at a field goal line, either direction. Every game they play, Donnie, is virtually pick 'em. This week, no different here. I did not think that they were in a great spot going to Denver last week. Broncos team off of the mini-bye at some point, right, kind of got to snap the deal. The thing for the Packers is they have been great at scoring when they need to, right? So, hey, listen, we're down. Can we put together a drive here? And they've been able to do that. But where is that urgency in the beginning of football games, right? These attempts at comebacks failing. So there's no consistency right now for this team here. I do like them to beat Minnesota coming off of a short week and a win against the Niners in prime time. I think the side for me is Green Bay. But the Packers are a hard group to trust right now. Not playing quality football, certainly.
Watch out for a quarterback doubleheader this weekend. Will Levis and Malik Willis? Did I hear that right? Out of Mike Vrabel.
That's
I'm looking forward to seeing so-and-so and so-and-so play a quarterback this weekend. Couldn't you believe it came out? Let's close it down for the week here. Coming up next on Moneyline. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here of the week on Moneyline. What a week it's been. Tonight we have World Series action. I'm invested in Evan Carter anytime. I see that's what they should say, that anytime RBI, right? Forget about anytime touchdown. Anytime RBI tonight for my guy Evan Carter. If he gets that, that's a nice boost at a price. I believe it's plus 234 with the profit boost I used. And as Kevin alerted me on FanDuel, there is a 100% profit boost on the NBA tonight. I will be invested in that. And you know who I'm looking at again, people. It's Ben Simmons. Like Ben Simmons had, did he have nine assists? I think he had nine assists in the opening night.
Yes, he did.
If you go for eight assists in this game and hit the profit boost here, that is a plus 260 price for him to get eight assists tonight. It's plus 130, goes to 260 if you double that. That's amazing stuff. Now, I know a lot of people, Kevin, like to really press that needle down, go 5-1, double it down to 10-1. I get it. But I'm looking to settle in that area because six assists is a minus 240. Eight is the plus 130. Double down makes a lot of sense to me. I can't go four assists. It's just not worth it. And six assists, if I hit that profit boost, you know what? It's a 120 still. Still solid, man. Like he should get that in his sleep tonight. What's that total in that game, by the way? Yeah, it's six assists is a minus 120 with the boost.
Right. That's not bad at all. I'm considering his double-double tonight. Again, Donnie, you're getting about plus 475. For a guy that had 10 rebounds and 9 assists in 23 yes. minutes in the first game, mm-hmm. should have a lot of pace against Dallas, plenty of opportunity. It's a very tempting number tonight, maybe where I'll put my boost money.
Oh, man, I got to figure that out, too. And that just got me energized tonight. So we're ready to go. And as you know, follow Kevin on X. Follow me on X. You know I'm going to be tweeting that stuff out here ready to go.
I'll tell you, if you tweet out Julius Randle double-double, the smile that would come across my face would be unmatched.
What? You can use it. 100% profit boost for that. I'm pretty sure you can get down on that, which is he's a double-double machine only because Thibodeau says, I have money on him as well. You should, too. That's why I leave him out there for all 48 minutes of every game, regardless of how he's shooting or not. It's a big game for the Knicks tonight. See if they can win it. Big game for everybody. Thank you for tuning in this week. For K-Dub, for Donnie Wrightside, and JP behind the wheels of steel, this has been Moneyline. See you Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.